to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. Welcome to the week of the offering right here at WMIE. Paul's jamming out over here on the keyboard. He is gearing up, waiting for your phone calls. So 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. If you would like to partner with WMIE, easy for me to say this early, for the next 6 months and helping them to keep all of their budget. You can also, this is new.
Yes.
This is brand new. You can text WMIE to 24365, 24365, and you can text to give. And so I imagine he'll keep that close by here. But you know, the sooner they raise their budget, the sooner we get to normal programming and without interruption and all that sort of stuff. And so we'd be very thankful if you felt led of the Lord to cheerfully partner with WMIE for the next 6 months. 321-632-1000. Tell Paul you heard about it on the Refresh radio program. Today I want to say thank you to Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804. It's not that I have that good of a memory. I've got a cheat sheet in front of me. 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work that you need to be done, they can help you to achieve that, to get it done, and they will do an excellent job. They are very skilled at what they do, have decades and decades of experience, have a great work ethic, like people. That's refreshing here in 2020. And so if they can be of benefit to you on your project, give them a call. You need to plan it out in advance. Don't wait and say, hey, I need a concrete guy tomorrow. That's not going to cut it. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804, and tell Greg you heard about him on the Refresh radio program. So we live in very interesting times, and I find it refreshing that God has us going through the topic of deliverance, that God is our deliverer. I think if I remember right, when we got to this part of this study, I prayed, "My Deliverer is Coming" by Rich Mullins. That was some time ago. And if you would ask me then, if we would have been talking about the things that we needed deliverance from right now, here, the end of March in 2020, I would have been shocked. I would have been shocked. But it is very true. We need God as much today as we've ever needed him. Some people have said, you know, the things that have been real challenges for humanity all along are still challenges for them to now. You know, most of the time we think destruction is going to come from some massive, you know, thing. But do you realize that this viral pandemic is something that is so small you can't even see it? How do you protect yourself from something you can't see? Well, I'll just tell you this. It really helps when you have a shield, a fortress, a sanctuary, a refuge, a God who lives inside of you, who says, don't you worry about anything. Do not fear. I will be your fortress and your protection. And so I want to encourage you, the just shall live by faith. Don't live by fear, but live by faith. So with that being said, I want to share with you just briefly, we've gone through a few biblical passages here over the past couple of weeks. But I'm not going to go through this entire passage, but Psalm 35 has something very interesting to say. Psalm 35 and verse number 9. This is the Psalm of David as well. It says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him? Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered together. Attackers gathered against me, and I didn't know it. They tore at me and did not cease. With ungodly mockers at feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth." So, first of all, let me say this about the latter part of the reading that went down through verse number 16 of Psalm 35. Let me say this. We are called to do the right thing. We are called to pursue peace. We're called to pursue love. We are to be very active in comforting and edifying and encouraging and building others up. That's what we're called to do. And it doesn't matter how they respond. Now, it would be phenomenal. It would be wonderful if they responded the same way to us as we did to them. You know, that when we were going through a difficult season, they would be the one that would come alongside, and they would strengthen, and they would comfort, and they would encourage. But not everybody does that. There are some people that if you're not doing something for me right now, you've never done anything for me at all. There are some people who do not look at the people that God has placed in their lives as gifts. They look at them as obstacles, or they look at them as objects that they can use to propel themselves to their goals or their dreams. And so they would rather step on you than assist you. To them, you are not a treasure. You are an opportunity that is waiting to happen. But in spite of that, we continue to do the right thing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we continue to press on. So let's go back to the first part of the verse. It says in verse number 9, Psalm 35, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." Now, when David wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was already evident what he was going through. It's not like he wrote the "and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation," took 8 months off of writing it, and then says, "You know what, this guy that I treated really nice is now treating me really badly." It was all a flow. It was the present reality. And in spite of the fact that he was being treated badly by someone that he held very dear to him, he said, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord." So just to give you an idea, when I was teaching English, and I know that the rules have changed, my daughters keep educating me that the language that I once knew is no longer the language that is prevalent, that meanings of words that I knew no longer apply because they have been corrupted and contaminated by current society. And so they said, "Don't say that." "Oh, well, why not?" "Well, it doesn't mean what you think it means anymore." It's like, that's too bad. So, but David here writes that his soul would be joyful, not in the circumstances, but his soul would rejoice, be filled with joy in the Lord. In the Lord. I like to every once in a while remind you that it is not just about Jesus as Savior, not just as Jesus as healer or coming King. It's about Jesus is Lord. He is sovereign. And so the thing that I weigh out is, okay, God, I want to be operating with accountability. I want to be submissive to the authority over me, because when I'm the person in authority, I want people helping me to fulfill the mission that God has given to us at that point in time. And it would be unjust for me to say, well, I'm not going to submit to authority, but I want these people to submit to authority. And so it's that sort of relationship. When you realize that God is the one in control, no matter how people are treating you, that God's not going to start treating you the same way that other people treat you, then you can start rejoicing, because you're going to outlive your tormentors. You say, well, I don't know. It looked like, you know, my life might end here. Well, I want you to get a more eternal picture. A more eternal picture says this, that spending an eternity with the lover of our souls is way better than having to spend an eternity with those people who hated us. You know, if you ever get a chance, go through and read the descriptions of what dynamics are like, not in heaven, but in hell. There is no joy there. There is no peace. There is no comfort. There's no relief. Do you realize that the Bible talks about that even in hell, that those who waged great authority here on earth are going to be rendered just as on the same par as everybody else that has chosen a godless eternity. They're not going to look at any authority there or any socioeconomic level and say, oh, well, we're going to treat you better because of such and such. That's not the way that it works. Not the way that it works. There's weeping. There's gnashing of teeth. There is no peace there. There is no joy there. And so when you and I realize what our eternity looks like, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more sickness, no more fear, no more death, no more poverty. You say, you know what? My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. So I started to talk about English just a bit. When I taught English, it was I shall and we shall, but you will. So here it says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It is an expression of the will that is taking place right there. If you have to talk to yourself and say, I will be joyful in the Lord, take authority over those thoughts and say, I'm not going to live in fear. I am going to live in faith. I'm not going to live complaining. I'm going to live in joy because the Lord is on my side. It goes on, it says, it shall rejoice in his salvation. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. David says in Psalm 51, we'll get there a little bit later, that he will rejoice in the God of his salvation. Philippians is one of the prison epistles, but it is a epistle that is all about the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in his salvation. Why do you think David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation? He had compromised with Bathsheba. He ended up putting himself in a very bad predicament, and he lost his joy. And all of a sudden, he said, boy, do I miss that. Can I ask you, what does your emotional health look like? I'm not talking about your psychiatric health. I'm talking about, are you still in awe of the fact that your sins have been forgiven and your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you still got the wonder of it all, that God has adopted you into the household of faith? It's a great, great place to be. Verse number 10, it says this, all my bones shall say. Let me just pause just a moment. On Friday's program, we talked about out of Psalm 34 that not one of his bones would be broken. In Hebrews chapter 4, there's another message about our bones. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and get this, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it says that the word of God is able, it is alive, it is powerful, it is able to penetrate even to the joints and the marrow. Your bones have more than just a physiological purpose. It says, all my bones shall say, this is back in Psalm 35:10, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and needy from him who plunders him. What is your innermost being crying out today? Is it a woe is me? You know, poor me, born loser, never get a break. This might surprise you, but if that's your theme song, I've sung that song before. I didn't like it. Not everything has been a comfortable journey. There have been real challenges and stuff like that. And, you know, there have been times, God, where are you? What is going on? There are still some things that if I let my unregenerate thoughts go on, it's good. It entertains some thoughts that says, God, how is that allowed to go on in your kingdom? But I don't let that happen. I say, you know what? God, there is none like you. Holy, powerful, loving, healing, jubilant. I don't know what your home looked like when you were growing up. I don't know what your home life looks like now, but I can tell you that around the throne room of heaven, there is great rejoicing that is going on. And so, Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him? You know, David knew what that was like. You know, David's dad didn't even think enough of him to invite him to his own coronation. It never entered into Jesse's mind that David might be the one that would be anointed king. He was just the runt of the bunch that was out taking care of the sheep in the field. And the next thing you know, David's doing a food delivery run, delivering some bread and some cheese to the soldiers who are shaking in fear, quaking in fear at the mention of Goliath. And David saw the giant the same height as everybody else did, but instead of shaking in his boots, he said, I think the God who delivered me from the lion and the bear, I think he's going to deliver you into my hands too. Not because of who David was, but he knew that that enemy was there taunting the armies of the God of Israel. And he says, God's not going to let that stand. Can you look at your problem and you don't have to lie to yourself about it. Just look at it and say, you know what? You're no match for God. You're no match for God. No matter how bad it gets, as the problem will never be so bad that I will choose to denounce my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's been way too good, way too good. You know, a great place to get to in your spiritual walk is when you realize that if God never does another thing for you, he has been way better already than what we deserved. And so I'm not saying that God's not going to do anything, because the way that I read this verse, that's not just an act of the past. Delivering is something that is taking place on a constant basis because it's part of his nature. He is the deliverer. What do deliverers do? They deliver. They don't just deliver once. They don't just deliver twice. They deliver over and over and over again. He said, yes, the poor and needy from him who plunders him, who comes and takes from him the very things that that had value to him. I mean, it really is something that is kind of parallel with what David will talk about later. Let's move over to Psalm 40 for just a bit. Psalm 40. And let's see what David has to say here. It kind of ties in with where we just were. Verse number 16. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, okay? The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. So here we go from Psalm 35:10. The Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, to verse number 17, where David writes this: I am poor and needy. It is not just something that God is going to do for somebody else. It is something that God wants to do for you and I. So because we love our Savior and we love the fact that we are saved, we are supposed to be saying, the Lord be magnified. God, would you enhance my perception so that I can see with greater clarity in you your wonder, your amazing character, your omnipotent power. May I see the omniscience that you have in operation in my life and your compassion for the world around me. God, I pray that you will be magnified. I pray that you'll help me to perceive where you've been active in my past, where you're active right now in my life, and the fact that you are directing and actively leading into tomorrow. God, the Lord be magnified. And David says this: I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. The Lord thinks about you. I have this mind. I don't know exactly why it works the way that it does, but it does this. I can be extremely tired, ready to go to bed, and you know, every once in a while, in fact, the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm fighting off a yawn right now, but I can go into bed, and occasionally I will fall right to sleep. I personally think that there's a gift that certain people have. I know a number of people that, I mean, they almost wait till their head hits the pillow. I don't just know one. I know about three right off the top of my head. Two of them, I've seen it happen. I've got one of my kids that can, that, I mean, they don't generally have a problem falling asleep. They've fallen asleep in much more difficult places, and they have a special gift. I've seen people that says when it's time to go to bed, boom, gone, sleep. But when I go to bed, I can be extremely tired, and all of a sudden, my brain thinks that it is time to begin to process all of the activities of the day, solve all of the world's problems, and we can replay it again before, you know, we get up of a morning. Well, I want you to know God never sleeps and he never slumbers, and you are never off of his mind. You might think that, well, I've messed up so bad that God could never love me. And I will tell you this, you've messed up as bad as I have, and God never stopped thinking about you. He is the Father in Luke chapter 15, who, even though his son had gone astray, the father went to the edge of his property every day, looking with expectation to see if today was the day that his son was coming home. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Do you realize that he's preparing a place in heaven just for you, that where he is, there you may be with him forever and ever. Amen. He thinks about you today. He knows the plans that he has for you. He orders your steps throughout the day. God thinks about you continually. Today, you have not slipped through the cracks. Every once in a while, I have something I'm supposed to do, and I think about it, and then I get distracted, and it's like, oh, I forgot to do that. God never has that mental lapse. He thinks about you often. And so David says, you are my help. You are my deliverer. Listen to this. Let's pray this right now. Do not delay, oh my God. Do not delay, oh my God. I pray that you will go throughout this day with the praise of God on your lips, that you will say, the Lord be magnified. God, I'm so thankful that you're thinking of me. I'm so glad that you're my deliverer from whatever adversity you're facing today. And God, I'm thankful that you're the God who is going to show up, and you're going to show up soon. And I'll tell you this, when God shows up, he also shows off. He's God, and he's not afraid to demonstrate it. Even on your behalf, on my behalf, and here in Brevard County. God bless you. You have a victorious day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio
Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Come to me in this quiet place, a place made only for you. Come to me in this quiet place, my heart is longing for you. I love to be here with you. Come to me in this quiet place, a place made of